And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, it is Thursday. Thursday at 3:30. That means I bring in two people who are meaningful to this show. We loves our team, and some of our team are folks that are always out front, like JP, and some folks are sometimes in the background, but they do amazing things. Well, I got two that are like both. We have a section called Butters and Lee, where I bring in the Butters and the Lee from Huntsville, and we ping questions back and forth and just see where we fall. So let me just call the roll. Butterman, are you with us right now?
I am here.
Wow. I heard JP earlier say buttery smooth voice, and there you are. I like That was a dad joke from you, JP. That really was, but I just used it. So what does that mean?
Exactly.
And then also calling in from the great north of the state, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
I am. I'm here as the predestined winner of today's show. Can't believe it.
That's like you get a Biden pardon where there's like, you know, just advanced pardons for things.
Exactly.
DEI winner for today.
That's right.
What are we doing?
Okay.
I'll take it.
This is not a meritocracy around here. Go ahead and hit me some.
Give me some yahoos.
Hit me. All right, let's get started here. First question, I ask the questions in the round one, y'all ask the questions on round two. So round one, first question, looking to the Trump nominations, he's got his cabinet being filled out. I mean, the left is freaking out because he really is following through by saying he's going to appoint certain people that are considered to be, you know, strong conservatives or, you know, ready to get in there and muddy the waters, if you will. But one of them is Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. Pete Hegseth, known most, you know, famously as the guy who's been on Fox Network for a number of years, came and spoke in Alabama a few years back. I had a chance to meet him just briefly in like a receiving line. Nice guy. But some are saying that the confirmation of Pete Hegseth is the one that is most in jeopardy right now, but that it's a hill worth dying on for Republicans. What say you? Lee, you first.
Yes, I think... He is a hill worth dying on, and one of the reasons is I think that Trump has the political capital to push this through. I think it's going to expose some of the rhinos that are going to want to knock down any candidate that they don't consider super palatable. I also think that it's important because they're going to find these personal peccadilloes on anybody, no matter who it is, and they're going to try to derail every nominee. You got to stop that cold. And I think Trump, the thing about Democrats is they fall in line. They fall in line when it counts. They do. Manchin would always stand up and bluster on about what he was going to do, but when it counted, like Obamacare, he voted like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Republicans have never quite been able to duplicate that effort. So I think that they need to start falling in line. And if these, like, you know, super liberal ones, you know, we can do it without them.
To your point, though, you do believe it is a hill worth dying on. Like, this is one we got to get this through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because we got to establish a baseline here saying you're not just going to come and knock down each one of these nominees.
Butters, what do you say?
I hate to say it. I don't know that I can add a whole lot to that. But yeah, I mean,
well, thank you.
I think we made it clear what we want, right?
Right.
We the voters.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's gonna quickly lose steam if every turn. I mean, we haven't even gotten to inauguration yet, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, is he truly the one to hill to die on over time? I don't know, but certainly this early on, we need to push forward with this, and especially any kind of the naysayer of, well, he's not the standard, you know, he's not a retired general, he doesn't have, you know, so what? Like, that's the point. We want all of that gone. So yeah, push it.
I agree with both of you. I think you guys nailed it, and I'll add one more piece to it. I think if they are allowed, the Democrats and the liberal media, if they are allowed to do another smear campaign to ruin someone's career in order to stop someone from being appointed to a worthy office, then they win on that regard too. I think it's twofold. One is Trump's nomination, I think, is important. I think that Pete Hegseth can do the job. I think he's qualified. I think he'll be the guy that cares about troops more than any other secretary we've had in recent years. But I think we also have to put an end to the entire, you know, death by smear campaign that we, like, we saw it with what well, we saw it with Roy Moore here in Alabama. We saw it with what happened with Justice Kavanaugh. This kind of crap, they can't be allowed to keep doing this. So shut it down.
To that point, yep. I mean, it's also the traditional media. I mean, the only reason The View has any relevance in our society today is because we all talk about how crazy they are, right? That's it. They get clicks off of repeat little clips and all that kind of stuff. Well, just stop talking about them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this, you know, folks like Pete and others, I think we need to take to the social medias and go and give them encouraging. Hey, look, we know this is garbage. You know, we're not listening. We don't care. We need to actually truly make these media entities irrelevant.
Yeah, completely
and just,
agree.
And
yeah.
Allow for, you know, someone with faults to get in office. Or what are we going to end up with? Yeah. People are going to have issues because we're human beings. But if you're saying they're not worthy of redemption, I don't believe that. And by the way, you'll never convince me that Roy Moore wasn't a dry run for Kavanaugh. I personally think it was exactly that.
That's exactly what it was. Roy Moore was the bellwether. He was the one that showed them that the battle plan can actually work. I mean, they got Clarence Thomas way back in the day. They tried, but the Roy Moore, they were successful in getting him off the ballot pretty much, and that's what they won.
With Richard Shelby's help, I might add, Katie Britt.
I will agree with that. Absolutely. All right. Wow, that was great. All right, great job, guys. So let me move to the next question. I just had a segment earlier in the show. I was talking a lot about kids, and the whole segment was called "Do It for the Kids." I hope you heard it. If you didn't, I'll just give you a quick up on it. The reality is that I put three different categories of where I think our culture, our society, is too often allowing things to happen to kids. One is the transgender agenda. The other is the abandonment on the southern border. I'll get back to that. And then the third is sex trafficking or human trafficking of kids. Now, that being said, let me go to the one about the southern border. The Biden administration, by its own Inspector General's report from the DHS, has lost track of 300,000 unaccompanied minors who came across the southern border. What should the Trump administration do about that, and should heads roll? And you first this time, Butters.
Well, in no particular order, should heads roll? Yeah, I mean, they need to figure out what's going on in there, and maybe this is a top priority for Doge to get in, but they need to dive in. Now, I know plenty of Border Patrol and Customs guys that I've known through the years that I've served with in one capacity or another. There are a lot of dudes that want to do the job the right way. So figuring out, right, we know there's competent people in there. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
But then, you just had Jared Hudson, who clearly has a proven model. Sounds like he's a great candidate to throw some hire on as a contractor or whatever that needs to be done, and others like him, and get busy actually doing the work. And I think that's along the same lines of what, Kash Patel is pushing with the FBI. Why are you all sitting behind a desk? Like, we aren't stopping, the sex trafficking and all this kind of stuff. We're not stopping this by sitting behind a desk in D.C. Like, get out there and go do some work and put some manpower in. Yeah. And I think that helps you get a hold of this.
Yeah, outstanding. That's good stuff. All right, so Lee, 300,000 kids. What should be done by the Trump administration? Should heads roll?
And I apologize. I wasn't able to listen. I listened to some of your children's segment, not the whole thing. So I apologize if I'm repetitive. But I think you have a three-step process. A, at the border, you reinstitute the DNA test. And if you aren't a family member, that kid isn't going with you.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, we need to find the kids that are lost. These are children. They may not be American children, but they're somebody's child. These are the people who are the most defenseless. We must protect them. And what we need to do is find where these children have been taken, because a lot of them could be in child trafficking and being, you know, sexually abused and or being used as, you know, workers or whatever. And none of that is appropriate. And then it gets to my third, which is, and I think we should try to reunite them with their parents in their home country. The third is, I think that the NGOs like Catholic Charities, Jewish Charities, these people that are taking the children and trying to reunite them with a, quote, relative, which we don't know that's what it is. And then the check-in is totally voluntary, which I think is ridiculous. I think those organizations need to be thoroughly vetted, and we need to have a serious investigation in every NGO that's taking children, because I think there's bad things happening. And I think the bad things happening is because no one is checking on the people taking care of the children.
No, totally.
So I think you got to do those three things.
I think that's awesome. I think you just nailed it. And I think I absolutely agree. I believe that when they came across the border, the fact that we took them, whether we like Biden or not, the fact that we as a nation took them, they then became our duty to protect. And by just abandoning them to whoever showed up, when the phone rang because the number that was written on the kid's arm said, call this number, and they came and picked up the kid. I think we go back now, because surely to goodness there's a record somewhere, right? I would hope there's a piece of paper that says this is where the child went. And somebody needs to be given the job when Trump takes office, that your job is to go follow up on every friggin' one of them and find out if the child is still there and if they're doing okay. Every single friggin' one of them.
Think about what the FBI is going to people's, you know, an old lady's home who was praying in front of an abortion clinic to arrest her.
Yeah.
Why don't you take that kind of zeal and go to the homes of people who are supposed to have children and don't, and interrogate the crap out of them until you find out where that child is?
That's right. Start pulling fingernails, I say. I'd listen. This is just too much. And I said earlier in my show, I believe this is the kind of thing that a nation can be judged for. And I think future generations are going to look back and go, 300,000. We lost a whole generation of kids because of the way y'all treated them back then.
All right.
Great work, you guys. That is round one of Butters and Lee. That flew by. My gosh. You guys are like double filibustering in a good way today. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Round two, Butters and Lee. We flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait to see what happens. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where they ask me questions. I don't know what they are in advance, and I just wait to see what's happening. So, Lee, ladies first, what you got for me?
So, have you seen the article in 1819 about the Prattville Christmas parade and the drag queen float in there and people kind of up in arms about it?
I just saw it. In fact, I just saw that Prattville decided to pull the float altogether. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen an update. That's good to know. I just wanted to also highlight something in Huntsville that I thought was interesting as well.
And okay.
To me, it's hand in hand. So a friend has Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And 2 years ago, they were in Huntsville's parade with their Cub Scout float. And right in front of them is a strip club and their float in front of the Cub Scouts.
Wow.
They had poles. Yeah, they had poles on their trailer. And they were all dancing on the poles with, like, sports bras and full leggings with, like, a thong over the leggings. Now, I think both of those things are highly inappropriate for a Christmas parade.
You think?
And I'm just wondering where we went off the rails. Why does this – would it not have to be family-friendly? Why was it a strip club?
Well, I think, first of all, the public needs to speak out. I think the public needs to speak out and recognize that what's happened is this is a fallen world, all right? First of all, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I get that. However, the people can also look and go, we're just not going to accept that. We're not going to go there. And there's, you know, if they want to make a case, if the strip club wants to say we should be allowed to prance provocatively in front of children, they need to make their case in the court of law and tell us why that's okay. Because there are times.
You know what?
What?
We could have had a law against this, Phil. We could have had it. And the daggum legislature didn't do it. There was a bill out there that would have prevented this.
Well, and I realize that, and it's amazing that we have to have the legislature get involved. If you think about it, though, that's my point. In this case, this is a citizen's issue for right now, and until the legislature does do something like that, which would be tough, the citizens, just like in Prattville, need to go, "Hello, it's a Christmas parade. We don't want, you know, the gay pride transgender parade float, and we don't want the strip club. Yeah. And by the way, can we just not?" Yeah, Butters, what?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, we don't need to legislate all of this.
All the morality.
I think a lot of it is we've been fed the, well, you know, live and let live, or let's just all get along, and we've let that slide, and then, you know, the public shaming and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Which I think we're sick of it. We're done, and now you got a community that, okay, you want to tell us we're wrong? Sorry.
I think the library fights, here. I think the library fights have actually emboldened people to realize, oh, We can choose to push back against Target when they have these transgender kids' clothes. We can choose to push back against the Library Association,
right,
and the Teachers Union. And, oh, by the way, you can push back against the organizers of the parade who allowed that to happen.
And I guarantee, assuming that you've got particularly local politicians involved, when nobody else shows up with a float and nobody shows up to support the parade,
yeah,
I guarantee you,
yeah,
those local politicians will fix it.
Guarantee you. I agree, man. All right, before we run out of time, Butterman, what is your question for me?
NASA.
NASA?
So shift into maybe a little lighter topic, but I know it's near and dear to a lot of our Huntsville listeners. NASA, Jared Isaacman, not sure. I know a little bit about him because of some of my aviation background. He actually has a couple airplanes in Gadsden getting repaired right now, and has had a couple of jets painted at a great shop there in Gadsden. Nominated to take over NASA, was one of the first civilian captains to get into space. Thoughts? Have you looked into him too much?
I've not. I mean, I know that Jared Isaacman is a billionaire. He founded Shift 4 Payments, I think, is the company. He's got ties to Elon Musk, which is interesting. Ties to SpaceX. So I think what that does too is it puts someone who comes from that background in the private sector into the NASA, wasting money, not accomplishing the mission anymore, losing their way, you know, the government bureaucracy stuff. And he's going to bring in that kind of, hey, remember what the free market can accomplish? Look what SpaceX just did. Hey, NASA, we're going to wake up. And I think he's going to bring in a freshness if he can get confirmed, which I believe he will. So, I don't know much about him personally, but the things that I know seem like he's going to bring something to the table that I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, my sources tell me he's actually really good friends with Elon.
No kidding.
And it is interesting, you know, if there'll be that relationship with SpaceX.
Yeah.
You know, how well, you know, that's a double-edged sword you're dealing with contracts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you've got explorers that want to go do great things, and you know, that's kind of that's the American spirit to me.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, who knows? Who knows? but to your point, what I was talking to a friend here, yeah, he's a businessman.
Yep.
Probably the most successful business guy to ever be in charge of NASA.
Well, listen, the music's playing. That means we're done. But that was a good one. I look forward to what else happens. Butters, Lee, thank both of you. Appreciate what you do. We'll talk to you soon.